Good morning, church. Oh, we can do better than that. Good morning, church. Welcome to Asbury. We are so glad that you guys are here this morning. We have run into all sorts of kinks, but the beautiful thing is that no matter where we are, no matter what we sing, the Lord is here. He is in this place. We serve and worship a present God. And where two or more are gathered in his name, he is there. So let's stand and worship together. I'm going to need some help on this song. It's called Promises, and it's a little bit of a call and response. So I need your help. Here we go. All your promises won't let go of me.
All your promises won't let go of me.
Surrendered my life to your ways. I learned what it means to obey. Jesus, my heart has been changed by you. I am walking the path you have made. I am seeking the truth every day. Jesus, my heart has been changed by you. I couldn't walk away if I tried. Your love is better than life. Now the sun's shining bright and it just won't set. Cause your love is alive and it lights my step. And my heart is amazed every day to the next. Your joy overtakes and I can't forget about it. Oh, 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 I can't forget about it. My life to your ways. I have learned what it means to obey. Jesus, my heart has been changed by you. I am walking the path you have made. I am seeking the truth every day. Jesus, my heart has been changed by you. I couldn't walk away if I tried. Your love is better than life. Now the sun's shining bright and it just won't set. Cause your love is alive and it lights my step. And my heart is amazed every day to the next. Your joy overtakes and I can't forget about it. Oh, 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 oh.
All your promises won't let go of me.
All of your promises won't let go of me.
All of your promises won't let go of me.
Now the sun's shining bright and it just won't set. Cause your love is alive and it lights my step. And my heart is amazed every day to the next. Your joy overtakes and I can't forget about it. Oh, 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 I can't forget about it. Oh, 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 I can't forget about it.
All your promises won't let go of me.
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 All your promises won't let go of me. Promises won't let go of me.
Woo! Amen. You guys can have a seat.
Good morning. I'm so glad you all are here, and thank you to our normal 10:45 traditional worship service attendees for coming in here. We felt like this might be a better option than really getting too hot. Once that sun comes through the stained glass windows in there, it might be a bit much for all of you. So thank you for being a part of here at the celebration service. It's good to worship together, isn't it? We've got some cute babies out here, and some of them are 50, 60, 70 years old. You can bring your picture as well as your grandbabies or the just whatever you feel is the cutest baby. And this is going to be a new fundraiser for our shared ministries. And Sean, there. Pretty lady in the front row, talk to her, she can give you details, but there's going to be some jars where you can put in your money to vote for your cutest baby, and that starts next Sunday. So this week, bring your pictures here, or bring them next Sunday, and we'll post them there on that back wall, and that runs through August the 13th, and so let's see how this goes, and let's support our shared ministries. Faith through the decades, all right. Any of you have one of these? I've got a few. I've got some that are actually women's hats, too. But Tony used this one in the first service, so I brought it for this one. But we're going to address the decades as we look at our faith through the decades. And that series starts next Sunday as well. We're going to look at the 50s. So get out the hats, the gloves, the purses, the skinny ties, whatever. Well, skinny ties were kind of 60s, so hang on to that for the next week. But think about the 50s and what you can do to celebrate the Christian faith through that decade. And we're going to talk about that and what we can learn from that. And then we've got some special music coming on. We had a wonderful violinist at the first service this morning. And Amber Singleton, if you enjoyed her during the Holy Week services, she's going to come back with us in the traditional services. And then the choir loft is being filled by Sunday school classes. But look who's going to be on July the 23rd, our own youth praise band. So come and support them. That's going to be wonderful. And again, we're so glad you're here. Please be sure and sign your attendance on the register pads. They'll be passed to you, and greet your neighbors as you see them. And let's just rejoice in the word of Christ as we pass the peace of Christ.
Let's gather together and sing and worship this morning.
Lord, how you love me, I don't deserve grace on top of grace. More than I've asked for, more than I'm worth, grace on top of grace. How sweet the sound, once lost, now found. Heaven came down, and grace rescued me.
Hallelujah, I'm set free from my sin and penalty. At the cross you took my place, with your grace on top of grace.
Deserve grace on top of grace. More than I've asked for, more than I'm worth, grace on top of grace.
Hallelujah, I am free from my sin and penalty. At the cross you took my place, with your grace on top of grace.
Sweet the sound, once lost, now found. Heaven came down, and grace rescued me. How sweet the sound, once lost, now found. Heaven came down, and grace rescue me.
How sweet the sound, once lost, now found. Heaven came.
sin and penalty. At the cross you took my place. Sing it out with your grace on top of grace.
Hallelujah, I am free. With your sin and penalty. At the cross you took my place. With your grace on top of grace. With your grace on top of grace. With your grace on top of grace. With your grace on top of grace.
You guys can have a seat as a praise offering to the Lord. And it's time for those kiddos to come on up here for some children's moments with Miss Amy.
Hey, guys. All right. Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay. This is exciting. Okay, what's this? A dollar. Okay. So let's think about being at school. What would you do if you were walking by your teacher's desk at school and you saw a dollar like this on the floor? What would you do?
I would just leave it.
You leave it on the floor?
I would pick it up and put it on her desk.
Good job. You pick it up and put it on her desk. Okay, Kayla?
I would pick it up and give it and go find the teacher and give it to her.
Perfect. That's a good answer, right? So would you pick it up and give it to your teacher, or would you walk and would you look around and make sure no one was watching and then slip it in your pocket? What would you do if you were walking home from school and you found a bag like this one, and when you looked inside, there was a lot of money in it? Would you tell your parents and report it and maybe tell the police, or would you say, wow, this must be my lucky day, and take all the money and keep it? What do you think you should do?
You should show your mom and dad.
You absolutely should show your mom and dad. Okay. This morning, I'm going to tell you three stories about people who found a large amount of money and chose to do the right thing. Hector is a 15-year-old high school student. One day, Hector found a bag of money like this with $120 on top of the Coke machine. He took it to the teacher who took it to the principal's office to turn in the money. When asked why he turned in the money instead of keeping it, Hector said he was concerned that the employee who left the bag would get in trouble if he lost that much money. Eddie was walking home when he found a bag of money on the sidewalk outside of a store. He picked up the bag, looked inside, and saw that it contained a large amount of money. When Eddie got home, he told his wife about finding the bag of money, and together they counted it. There was over $4,000 in the bag. Is that a lot of money? Yeah, it is, right? Eddie called the police and told them about the money. The manager of the store had dropped the bag while closing, and without a doubt, he was happy that Eddie had found the money. When we hear stories like these, it may make us stop and ask ourselves, what would I have done if I found all that money? To find the answer to that question, ask yourself, what would I do if I found a dollar on the floor beside my teacher's desk? You see, honesty is not a question of how much money that's involved, but it's a matter of doing the right thing. One day, Jesus told his disciples a story about a rich man who had a manager, and the manager was using the man's money for himself. The rich man discovered that the manager was wasting his money, so he called him in and he fired him. After telling the story, Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever can be trusted with a little, like a dollar, can be trusted with very much, like the $4,000. If we make sure that we are honest in the small things, then we can be sure that we will be honest in the big things too. If people know that they can trust us in the small things, they will know that they can trust us in the big things." All right, let's pray. Can we pray together? Dear Father, help us to remember what Jesus taught about honesty, and help us to be honest in every situation, big or small. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Father, and you hear all that we have to say. We thank you that you know our hearts even before we utter the words. We come before you and we confess that there are things that we have done and things that we have said and things that we have undone and things that we have not said that are grievous to you and hurtful to others. So, oh God, we come before you as repentant people, thanking you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who washes those sins clean through our salvation and by his grace. Oh God, we celebrated the freedom last Sunday, but certainly we understand that freedom is something given to us each and every day. Freedom in your love, freedom in your forgiveness of our sins, freedom in a country where right now we are not condemned, we are not persecuted, nor are we in danger for worshiping you. What a gift. and what a gift at the sacrifice of so many. We remember Reverend Doug Walker today, who will be going through his retirement ceremony from the military. We pray your blessings upon him. We thank you for his service and for the service of so many. We also give you thanks that he joins our team here at Asbury and is already giving excellence in ministry. And Father, it's not just clergy that give ministry, but all of us are called to ministry as we are disciples in Jesus Christ. May we share freely, offer lovingly, and serve steadfastly. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, who also reminded us that we should be rejoicing always and praying always. As we pray the prayer he taught us, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As the ushers come forward and we dedicate our gifts, let us remember that stewardship is not just a season, not just something we concentrate on in the fall, but something we talk about all year long, and something that we do and pray about all year long. And let us be reminded that stewardship is not just in our gifts, although we need our gifts, but also that stewardship is about serving and loving and volunteering. And this church and the ministries of outreach of this church need you. So when you're called upon, please prayerfully offer your service in the name of Jesus. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we again are so thankful for the opportunity to give and for your abundance of blessings on our lives. You ask so little. Forgive us if we ever give little. Help us to give from our heart, whether it be small or large, knowing that we have responded by your grace and your love in our gifts as an act of praise. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
darkness without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, without borders, let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is with. Dear Lord, we ask that you call us out of our comfort zones and that we would feel your Spirit in us and be willing to step out in faith and follow you. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. We thank you for your sacrifice. We thank you for your love and your grace. It's in the heavenly name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.
Thank you all for your patience with our technical glitches and for your non-technical pastor. Today, we're going to offer the Word of God from the New Testament as we find it from Acts 27. An interesting passage, but I think you'll understand why I've selected this one. It's Acts 27, 39 through 44. May the people of God be enriched in their spiritual journey from this hearing and reading of God's holy word as we find it in Acts 27, 39 through 44. Now when it was day, they did not recognize the land, but they noticed a bay with a beach on which they planned, if possible, to bring the ship ashore. So they cast off the anchors and left them in the sea, at the same time loosening the ropes that tied the rudders. Then hoisting the foresail to the wind, they made for the beach. But striking a shoal, they ran the vessel aground. The bow struck and remained immovable, and the stern was broken up by the surf. The soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners, lest any should swim away and escape. But the centurion, wishing to save Paul, kept them from carrying out their purpose. He ordered those who could swim to throw themselves overboard first and make for the land, and the rest on planks or on pieces of the ship. And so it was that all escaped to land. The word of God for the people of God. So today we're looking at the idea of life lessons from a cruise. As we look at Paul's journeys, they are exceptional reading. You read about the detail of the boat, certain details about the type of passengers, in this case, prisoners. You see the details that are not there. The weather data, the climate, the mileage that they are intending to go. It's just hard to believe in the midst of all this, the crude elements and the weather factors, not to mention the imprisonment
the conditions in which they found themselves. It's hard to believe that through all of this, that Paul survived. What explanation can there be but that of God? Tony and I went on our 35th wedding anniversary trip. We chose a cruise with Holland America, the Amsterdam, to go to Alaska. I preached the two services that morning of Mother's Day, and we got on the plane and went to Seattle and settled in that night to board the ship the next day. When we arrived, of course, any of you that have been on a cruise, and this was our first one, there's the checking of the passports, and there's the loading of the luggage, of course, and there's all the little lines that you have to go through, and then there's the picture that they take as you board the ship, and then the crew is just as nice and accommodating as they can possibly be as we found our ways to the veranda cabin. It wasn't long after we settled in that we heard a loud message over the speakers asking us, well, I guess they weren't asking us, they were telling us to come to a mandatory session of how to equip yourself should something happen to the ship and you needed to survive. And so we all donned on our vests and we learned how to do this and that with them. And I have to tell you, the whole time, I'm not listening very well. The 1998 movie Titanic is going through my mind. In fact, so much so that there was a particular lounge. There were several lounges on the boat, but there was one that featured a violinist the entire trip. And if you recall one of the next to last scenes in the Titanic movie where the violinist... Yes, the courageous, brave violinist that played even in the midst of the panic of the people. And you may remember the line of one of the passengers in his panic going, well, that's a new one, music to drown by. So I couldn't be anywhere near those violins that entire deal. Of course, this morning, what did we have featured in the 8:30 service but a violinist? So I told her I hope she didn't take offense. Preceding the scripture today, Paul, who is heading to Rome, has had an incredible dream. And as a result of his dream, he assures the crewmates that they are going to survive. I now bid you take heart, for there will be no loss of life of those among you, only that of the ship. For this very night there stood by me an angel of God, to whom I belong and to whom I worship, and said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar, and lo, God has granted you all those who sail with you. So take heart, men, for I have faith in God that it will be exactly as I have been told. And so they approached further in their journey, and they encountered these incredibly rocky seas, and they began to pitch food and crates and anything they could do to lessen the weight of the ship. They longed for daylight so they could see what they were doing, and they believed that the ship was about to wreck. So they had this idea, these soldiers would toss four anchors into the sea to try to steady the ship. Paul said to the centurion in charge of the boat, unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved. So the soldiers then cut the ropes to the anchors. They were not going to jump off and let the ship go. Then Paul told them to all take nourishment as they had been without food for 14 days. Well, that's a whole different kind of cruise than what Tony and I went upon for sure. That first night for us was a bit rough. And so we were really happy that we had brought with us those seasick pills. But being our first cruise, we didn't know that you just didn't keep popping those pills. And so we went to sleep. And we slept a lot. And the next day we slept some more. And we decided we needed to really wean ourselves off of these pills if we were going to be awake and enjoy this trip. And we didn't go 14 days without food. In fact, that cruise mission almost seemed to be that none of us should go 14 minutes without food. For there were all of those wonderful meals and then the buffet that in case you never got full, you could get a snack. Well, I kidded Joe Waldrum in the 8:30 service that he had pretty much put the fear of God in me that Sunday morning before we left that afternoon. He says, "Now, Mary, just go ahead and know you're going to gain a few pounds." He said, "That's just what you do on cruises." And I thought to myself, I'm not going to do that. And so we went to work out almost every day on that cruise ship. And then we had also gotten excursions that involved a lot of bicycling or walking. And then there were many times, just because there were lots of things to do, that we didn't eat all three meals. We would just eat one and then eat another later on in the day and call it a day. But I thought about life lessons from a cruise, and this one came to my mind. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. Amen? I mean, you can take that one life lesson and apply it to almost any area in your life. Money, talk, time, energy, health. I mean, you just name it. And of course, your spiritual life. While Paul in the preceding text said, "I urge you to take some food, it will give you strength, since a hair on your head will not leave any of you," for us, we had to be mindful. Just because you can doesn't mean that you should. Before each meal, Tony and I did as we always do, whether we're in a restaurant or at home or wherever, we began to pray before our meal. This is important to us, to thank God for our food, to ask it to go the nourishment of our bodies so that we can serve Him and have energy for the day to do His will and His word. So we did notice that the assigned table mates with us did not participate in that, and we were not going to force our faith on that, but we also weren't going to let them inhibit us from praying. The meals in the La Fontaine dining room were delicious. They were exquisite. And the desserts were fabulous, and sometimes we sampled them, and sometimes we didn't. Now, one of the couples that was, was our assigned at our table was a rather robust couple, and we couldn't help but notice a couple of things. They cruise 225 days out of every 365. Now, at the 8:30 service, they gasped. That's what I would call professional cruisers. And the second thing that we kind of noticed was they not only ate their dessert there, they would take some to go back to the cabin later. So, again, you know, just kind of because you can, maybe you shouldn't. All right, second, always listen to the captain, or in our case, the cruise director. Now, Paul's fellow inmates listened to him. They listened to him because he spoke with authority and he had this dream, this vision from God, this word from God, that they would be safe. And he gave them assurance. And although we listened to the captain, it's going to be okay. Although we listened to the captain, and he would give things like nautical mileage and the temperature of the water and the temperature outside and the temperature where we were going or how many more miles or when the next day we would approximately meet at our port. Although he gave us all that, we found out that the most important voice to listen to was that of the cruise director. Now, how many of you remember the show Love Boat? Okay. And the one character that you may remember the name of is the cruise director, Julie. Oh, she was so perky and happy and wanted everybody else to be perky and happy. And she was kind of like counselor-cruise director. So our cruise director's name was Erin, and Erin was perky, and her voice had this, like, you don't want to miss this kind of thing. And so she would be really good to say what time the next show would start and give us a little description of it or a reception we might not want to miss. And so We really appreciated Aaron, our cruise director. And then the third thing that was a lesson that reminded to me from the cruise was, what's your plan B? In your life, what is your plan B? Now, we had been on several excursions. These excursions dealt with a lot of fish, salmon, big whales, sea lions, all kinds of things. Now, the whales were pretty cool because I had never had one so close that it could almost spray me. It was kind of cool. But after several of these excursions of all of this, when it came up time to go to the crabbing excursion, I just didn't want to be around those smelly, pinchy crabs all day. So one of the other couples that was at our table was named Pete. Now, Pete was kind of a lively older fella. And at dinner, I kind of sprung this on Tony. And I said, "Hey, Pete, how would you like to go crabbing with Tony tomorrow?" Well, Pete's eyes lit up, and Tony looked at me like, "Okay." And I thought, well, I've got an excursion planned for my own. I was going to go catch something in Ketchikan. And I went shopping, and I went shopping, and I went shopping, and I got a few Christmas gifts and a birthday gift for Tony, and to me it was a win-win. The soldiers had a plan. Their plan A was to kill all the prisoners on the boat. But the centurion, who was willing to save Paul and willing to believe Paul, had a change of plans, presented the new plan. The centurion ordered those who could swim to go ahead and throw themselves overboard and to do the best they could to swim to shore. And for those who couldn't, well, since the ship was already breaking apart, they were to grab a plank or a piece of the ship and just hold on for dear life and float toward the shore. So instead of death, the new plan was grace and survival in their escape. Something else I was reminded of in this cruise was that in our faith, it's so easy to stay close to what you know and to who you know. I mean, we do that naturally. We go to the familiar. But is that what Christ really calls us to do as we look at the Gospels, as we look at his disciples and what he taught them to do and what he calls us to do in the Great Commission to go make disciples? Jesus doesn't call us to play it safe. Jesus says to love, and to love is to risk. And there were times that the disciples went out and they risked being accepted in the villages, and that many times they were rejected. Jesus said, "Shake your dust off and go on to the next village." Play it safe. I could show up every Sunday, gravitate to the ones I know or feel more comfortable or believe that are supportive, make small talk, smile, and just go on. You could do the same thing. You could go to just your friends, make some small talk, smile. But I'm asking you, is that what we're called to do? Absolutely not. You're not called to show up to church every now and then and just be with your friends. You and I are not called to show up to church every now and then and just throw some money in the plate. You and I are not called every now and then to just sit in the seats, listen to the message, listen to the music, leave the church, and begin critiquing the service. Have I got some folks feeling convicted? You know what conviction is? That's when the preacher or the music or the Holy Spirit is convicting you of something that's just been said, done, spoken, or sung. And you think, wow, that's talking to me. You see, if you do those things I just described, show up every now and then, throw in a little money every now and then, speak to just who you know, guess what you are? You are a consumer Christian. You take it in and you walk out. Jesus Christ did not die on the cross for us to bring people into the world to know Jesus Christ to consume religion. No. He came into the world to make us disciples, to share the love of God, and to bring others to Christ, because there is no one else that gives you life like Jesus Christ. Jesus called you and me to discipleship. What does that look like? That means you come to worship. That means that you come to praise. That means that you come to pray for one another. That means that you speak and reach out to all persons. And you pray for the Holy Spirit to come inside of you, that you can then go share it out in the world, that someone else may know Christ. That is taking you from consumer, which is dead, to disciple, which is alive. We're called to be disciples. Now, disciple means learner. Apostle means messenger. We're actually a bit of both. To witness our faith after we have learned how to share our faith. If you're not quite sure how to make that transition, if you find yourself being convicted of being a consumer and you desire deeply to be a disciple, I would love to visit with you about that, and am always available for you. And finally, in our faith, just because you can doesn't mean you should, again, rings true for us as a church. I can give a little to the church, but just because I can doesn't mean that I should. Jesus taught us to tithe. I can miss church, you may say, because it's summer. My kids are out of school. There's extended family to go visit. There's vacations to take. This is just our chance. That's fine. Vacations are needed. Time with family is necessary. But summer is not, hear me, a three-month vacation from worship. Just because you can doesn't mean you should, because what are you teaching your children when you do that? What are you teaching yourself spiritually when you do that? And what in the world are you telling your brothers and sisters in Christ about the value of worship with them in the body of Christ means to you in your life? I can eat or drink that extra portion, but just because I can doesn't mean I should. 1 Corinthians tells us that the body is a temple of God. I can tell you what I know about so-and-so, and just because I can doesn't mean that I should. James 3:10, the mouth, out of it comes brackish and spring water. That ought not be. Word said from the brother of Jesus Christ, our Lord himself. When you can do something, you'll find the answer ultimately whether you should by asking this question. Would Jesus do that? Would Jesus say that? What would Jesus do? So who's your captain? Who's navigating you as a ship going through this sea of life, right? Is it a spouse? Is it a good friend? Is it a coworker? Is it a member of the family that you really lean upon? Who is it that's doing that for you? Remember, those persons are just human. Humans that probably care a great deal about you, but nevertheless, they are humans. And if they care about you, they're probably going to filter a little bit of the truth, because they would never, ever, ever hurt you. I need to hear from God, who's straight, who's real, who's direct. And so I need God's word to speak to me, and I'm going to listen to that. And I need God's voice to speak to me, and I'm going to pray. And I need to turn off the electronics and all these other things that are distractions in my life, so I can meditate upon the Lord, so he can speak to me. And then when God speaks to you and speaks to me, we better listen. There was a ship once who weathered the storm. It weathered the storm in the open sea, where it had room to be directed. But once it began to take a course toward the temptations in life, the obstacles of life, and let that course take over, it ran into big, big trouble. Metaphor or not, you and I are ships. Metaphor or not, this life is like a big old sea. And it's got a lot in there to capture our attention. And everywhere, there are things vying for our attention. Everywhere, there are temptations saying, oh, you'll be free if you just do this. Oh, you'll have ecstasy if you just do this. Oh, you'll have success if you just do this. And we find ourselves following that course instead of the course of faith, where the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, oh, but you can have this eternal life and daily joy if you just do this. Pick up the compass called Christ and follow me. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Would invite our celebration team. Oh, excuse me. No, we have a very important thing to do before the celebration team begins to offer us our final song. I would invite the OMP group to come forward at this time as we have their commissioning. Good looking group. Larissa Temple, Jackson South, Christian Dawson, Elena DuPaul, Madeline Carver, Miles Harward, Caleb Ross, Sean Burks, Mia Chapman, Mike DuPaul, Christy Harward, and Johnny Ross. Wonderful, wonderful team. So this team is preparing to be sent forth to serve God through mission work. As they plan to depart, we take this time to pray for them and commission them as servants and missionaries of Jesus Christ in Asbury United Methodist Church. So I would invite you all, instead of kneel, just to begin to pray with me. This morning, Asbury United Methodist Church commissions this team to be workers of God and the people of God in Mountain Home, Arkansas. We pray that your ministry will be fruitful and your relationship with God will be strengthened. Will you all do your best to represent Christ in Asbury in all you say and do?
We will.
Okay. That was actually for the congregation to pray for them, but I don't know where we are. How about right there? With God's help, I will. See?
Okay.
Okay. There you go.
With God's help, I will. I'm excited about the chance to be the hands and feet of Jesus, serving those brought before me in their head.
Okay. Will you, congregation of Asbury, support this team with your prayers as they go about doing God's work? And let us join together. Dear God, we thank you for this group. You have chosen to do your work of the OMP. Please go with them, protect them, strengthen them, and lead them closer to you as they offer acts of service in Jesus' name. Amen. I know that you'll want to be able to say a personal word to them and give them a little hug before they leave, but we are so very, very proud of them. Let's give them a hand. Thank you all so much. And now, if the celebration team would please come forward and lead us in our closing song. If there are those here today who would like to unite with this church in any ways we receive members, if you would like to profess your faith in Jesus Christ, I'm not going to use the microphone to do that, but if you would like to profess your faith in Jesus Christ or renew that faith, or if you'd like to come forward and to pray, we invite you to do so at this time. Of old, your love is enduring,
through the winter rain, beyond the horizon, with mercy for today. Faithful you have been, faithful you will be. Pledge yourself to me, and it's why I sing your praise. Will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips.
Ever be on my lips, your praise will ever be.